Good evening. It is 5 p.m. and this is Today in YGK on CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Lower Carruthers Hall on Queen's Campus in Kingston, Ontario. Today in YGK is brought to you by CFRC's News Collective. CFRC's news programming is made possible by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street, and the Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. I'm CFRC's broadcast journalist, Christina Laurie, and here are your local news headlines. The future of the Sleeping Cabin program, recently rebranded as the Crossroads Village Project, is currently uncertain after Our Livable Solutions, OLS, announced that the initiative has been placed on hold due to a loss of operational funding. It was announced in fall 2023 that the project would wind down by September 30th, 2024. In July, the project made a major comeback, OLS managing to secure their own operational funding and a permanent location for a cabin community courtesy of Crossroads United Church, and council agreeing to cover costs for the development of the site and sell OLS the cabins for $1. A collapse in the agreement between OLS and their operational funding source has halted progress on this relocation, which was intended to ensure stability for residents as the program transitioned. All OLS staff have received notices of the end of their employment on September 30th, 2024. The City of Kingston released a statement in response to this announcement, reiterating its commitment to support the project with the agreed-upon July arrangement of selling the cabins to OLS for $1 and providing $500,000 for their site preparation and capital development expenses, as well as assisting in finding housing in the meantime for current cabin residents. As Kingston grapples with a growing housing crisis, over 633 individuals currently experiencing homelessness, OLS is currently working with the city to provide housing solutions to the 11 current cabin residents ahead of the program's planned wind down by September 30th. I sat down with Executive Director of OLS, Crystal Wilson, to speak about the current state of the project and what comes next. OLS has announced the Crossroads Village project is now on hold, the reason being operating funds falling through for OLS. I was wondering if you could expand upon how this ended up happening and the factors at play here.
So I guess it's a longer timeline. So last November, Homestead and through Brett Smith had generously offered a location that they weren't using called Arena Marina. And we were expecting to go there. The donation was over $900,000, which included all the buildup plus some operating costs for 3 years. And unfortunately, the city declined that offer. And when they declined it, they also chose to wind down the pilot project we've been running. And then again in April, we went back to City Council and they chose again to wind down the program. So our standard source of operating funds was gone. And then there was a partnership with a private donor, but that's fallen through. So without that, we need to be able to pay our staff, right? And so we're working on some new partnerships and it's looking pretty hopeful. We're very hopeful that we'll be able to open before winter, but it'll be because of private donors and foundations that helping us out if it works out. In general, the three levels of government, what ends up happening is a nonprofit group will try to launch an initiative to get people housed or, you know, run food programs or whatever. And often what happens is you'll get capital costs, but not the appropriate amount or any operating costs. And the governments leave it up to the nonprofits to find that money, whether it's through donations or through foundations or, you know, grant writing all the time. And it makes it really difficult on the groups that are trying to stay focused on the work they're trying to do, because our job is to bring people into transition housing and stabilize them and help them get ready for permanent housing. But if we're spending all of our time chasing money, it's a lot of energy that we're not putting into the people that we support. And then all of the liability for these activities gets put on the nonprofits as well. This is across the board. So it's not just us thing. It's just the way the government functions in terms of providing housing. It ends up being the housing providers constantly chasing money, trying to find, and we're all competing for the same dollars, right? It would be much more helpful if the three levels of government could come up with a way to provide stable revenue for the nonprofits to provide housing.
Yeah. And just to tack on the end there, I was wondering if you could provide a statement about the partnership that fell through.
That's a tough one. I would just say that the partnership has fallen through.
So where are cabin residents at right now? What happens after that September 30th wind down deadline now that we don't have Crossroads Village to look forward to right at the deadline?
Mm-hmm. So, you know, we've all been working really hard. The city's been facilitating lots of conversations with local housing providers and service providers. We were hoping for the Canada Ontario Housing Benefit to become available because it's normally open for funding for new applications May 1st. And unfortunately, the Ford government has not opened it for new applications yet. So we were hoping that would open and to be able to move people to market housing, but it hasn't happened. We kept waiting for that. And then, so now the local service providers have stepped up and provided space within their agencies to accommodate most of the people. So we moved somebody this morning, somebody else moved last week. We still have 10 to worry about. Most of them have pretty good plans in place. We're just firming up. You know, we're just firming up the housing situations, and when people are moving into those options, and then the city is going to be providing funding for hotel stays until those housing options are available.
Okay, that's good to know that there's something in the interim.
We've all done our best, the city and OLS and the mm-hmm. service provider, find ways to be able to accommodate people in an overcrowded system already, to find ways to accommodate all of our residents. Not all of the housing is 100% ideal, but it gives them a roof over their head until they can find more permanent housing. So we're hopeful that just keeping them stable and not sending them back to the streets will help move them into permanent housing eventually.
Yeah, and you might not be able to say, but who are some of those service providers who are providing support during this time?
You know, the standard ones, it's Lions Heart and Home-Based Housing, Dawn House. One of our residents found market housing on their own, so that was great.
Sounds good. And how many residents do you have currently?
As of today, we have 9 that are here. One unfortunately is in the hospital right now, but and then we have to worry about that person's situation once we know what's going on with them. But we have 9 in the cabins right now.
You mentioned that you do have expectations that you might be able to move forward with Crossroads Village in the winter. What's sort of on the horizon for OLS? Are there partnerships that you're looking forward to, or any folks who've stepped forward with donations? What kind of makes you hope that you'll be able to open in the winter?
I can say we've had some really great conversations. Mm-hmm. And we're really hopeful that some of them will come through. Whether it's, you know, one organization or person stepping up to support us to start out, or it's a combination of organizations. It looks like it'll end up being a combination of places to get us moving forward. We're having really good conversations, so I'm hopeful. For our common building that has bathrooms and showers and the kitchen, shared facilities, the manufacturer of our cabins has stepped up and is going to be providing the common building at a significantly reduced. Like they're eating a lot of the cost of it. Mm-hmm. So we'll be well under budget for capital expenditures. It's going to be built in Niagara Falls, and then they'll be able to put it together really quickly. They just ship it down in 4 sections and then piece it together in Kingston. So once we can prepare the site in terms of excavating for utilities and doing all the electrical hookup and stuff, the common building can be put together in a matter of a couple of days.
That's great. Yeah. And, yeah, I was wondering if you could give us a bit of a vague timeline in terms of getting the site excavated and actually being fully set up at mm-hmm. Crossroads United Church.
So we originally had planned for a 6-week start from shovels in the ground to done. Mm-hmm. But because of what Modular Energy Systems is offering, we can actually speed that up quite a bit. So it should be only be a couple of weeks of site preparation, and then the main building comes in. We should be ready to go. So, which is why we're hopeful that we can get open before winter. So as long as we can excavate before winter, then we should be able to open in the winter or before the winter. Yeah. If we don't get the funding in place before the winter starts, we won't be able to do the excavation. So we'll have to wait until the spring then.
The recent release from the city also notably accused OLS of spreading misinformation, stating, quote, "We are also disheartened to hear misinformation circulated by OLS, placing blame on the city for not financially supporting the Cap'n program." When asked for clarification on this statement by CFRC, the city responded, quote, "The misinformation we referred to was OLS stating that the city withdrew funding on the project, which is incorrect. The city did not commit to operating funds, but did commit capital funding totaling $500,000 for their site preparation and capital development expenses related to a common amenities building, accessible sidewalks, and ramps. Should OLS secure the necessary operating funds within the 2-year period approved by council," end quote. Crystal commented on this and the clarification provided to CFRC.
And I guess I'm pretty confused by that, because we did send our media release to saying that we're putting the project on hold. The city was well aware through meetings that it was going to end up being put on hold, that we had lost the partnership. And so I'm pretty confused by that statement, because in our media release, we said, we very clearly said the city's contributing capital costs, and it's the partnership with the operating costs that had fallen apart.
As stated by Crystal, OLS has hopes that the project will be up and running before the winter. This has been Christina Laurie, Local Journalism Initiative reporter with CFRC News.
This is Jesse Bell from the CFRC Sports Desk, and this is your sports report. The 7th-ranked Queens Gaels were on the road in London on Saturday to take on the 4th-ranked Western Mustangs in their homecoming game. On paper, this game looked like an exciting and even matchup, but on Friday evening, the Gaels announced that their starting quarterback, Alex Vreeken, would not be making the trip up to London. Backup QB Anthony Leo would get the start, and the Gaels' offense struggled as a result. The game began poorly for the Gaels, as a high snap went over the head of punter Matt Driver and into the end zone for a safety. Down 2-0 early, it would be the Queens defense that would make the game's first big play.
2nd and 10, play action, over the middle, picked off! That is a pick by John Korsgaden, reading the play to perfection.
John Korsgaden's first career interception would get the Gaels the football back, but the offense was unable to capitalize on this jolt in momentum. The Gaels trailed 2-0 to start the second quarter, but it was in the second quarter where the Mustangs would pull away. They would score 18 straight points, taking a 20-0 lead, and it looked like they might shut the Gaels out until late in the second quarter, where we had these two back-to-back plays that got the Gaels into scoring position.
Leo hands it off to Kasari. Kasari will pick up a first down. He is still up on his feet. He's cutting it up. He's going to the middle of this Western defense, and that is the best play of the day from Jared Kasari. A huge gain right through the heart of this defense, doing what he can to get the ball back to the official. Queens has got to hurry it up, Lauren. Leo dropping back. Leo skying one up, and that is a beautiful touchdown for the Gaels. Oh, my goodness. My, oh, my. I believe that was Logan Walton. It's Logan Walton, first career touchdown for the kid as Queens shows some signs of life.
Logan Walton's first career touchdown gave the Gaels a little bit of offensive momentum heading into the half as they trailed 20-7. The Gaels were unable to build on this momentum in the second half. The offense did not generate a first down until the start of the fourth quarter, and by that point Western already had a commanding double-digit lead. Anthony Leo would throw his second touchdown pass of the game to Nathan Falcone with less than 30 seconds remaining, but it was too little too late, as the Gaels fell to the Mustangs by a score of 39-14. This now gives Western 14 consecutive victories over the Gaels, with a point differential of plus 385. The Gaels are on the road again, heading up to Kitchener-Waterloo this weekend to take on the undefeated, number one ranked Laurier Golden Hawks. This concludes your sports report. Stay tuned for a special promo hyping up the game between the Gaels and the Golden Hawks, scheduled to take place on Saturday, October 5th, 1 p.m. kickoff time.
It's been said that football is a game of inches. Even the smallest margin can mean the difference between victory and defeat. Elation and agony. The next round, or your final game. In 2023, the Gales were on the wrong side of that margin as they lost their home opener in dramatic, heartbreaking fashion to the Laurier Golden Hawks. Now the Gales find themselves in the role of the Road Warriors, traveling to Laurier's home turf, hungry for revenge. Who will prevail in this clash of Vanier Cup contenders? On Saturday, tune in to CFRC 101.9 FM or CFRC.ca to catch all the pulse-pounding action. The CFRC pregame show will begin at 12:45 p.m. with a 1 p.m. scheduled kickoff time. We hope you'll join us for this classic clash between two powerhouse programs.
This is Christina coming in with your CFRC weather report for this evening. Tonight we're expecting a few clouds with a low of 12 degrees. On tomorrow, Tuesday, October 1st, we have a mix of sun and cloud with a high of 23 and humidex being 28. We have a UV index of 5 or moderate. Tuesday night, cloudy skies with showers beginning after midnight. We have a low of 16 degrees. On Wednesday, October 2nd, we have cloudy skies with a 40% chance of showers and a high of 19. Wednesday night, clear skies with a low of 10. On Thursday, we'll have sunny skies with a high of 22. Thursday night, clear skies with a low of 9. Finishing off the work week, increasing cloudiness and a high of 19 on Friday, October 4th. Friday night, we'll have cloudy periods with a 30% chance of showers and a low of 7. Finally, getting into the weekend, Saturday, October 5th, a mix of sun and cloud and a high of 18 degrees, then cloudy periods at night and a low of 9. Sunday, October 6th, we can expect cloudy skies and a high of 16. That wraps up your weather report for this evening, and next up is your CFRC traffic report. Now for your City of Kingston traffic report for this evening. Pavement rehabilitations will be taking place along Highway 401 between Rustbrook Road to beyond the Highway 15 overpass, and on the Sir Donny McDonald overpass. This work will consist of various lane and ramp closures over the next several months. Highway 401 eastbound at Highway 15, full mainline closure. October 1st from 9 p.m. to 6 a.m., October 2nd from 9 p.m. to 6 a.m., and October 3rd from 9 p.m. to 6 a.m. Gardner's Road, Sydenham Road, Sir Johnny McDonald Boulevard, Division Street, Montreal Street, various ramp closures. October 1st from 8 p.m. to 6 a.m., October 2nd from 8 p.m. to 6 a.m., and October 3rd from 8 p.m. to 6 a.m. PSPC has announced that the LaSalle Causeway is scheduled to reopen to pedestrians, cyclists, and motorists on the early evening of Thursday, October 3rd. In other road closures to look out for this week, Albert Street, Princess to 486 Albert, closed until December 31st to accommodate construction activity and staging at 484 Albert Street. Cooper Street, Albert to Collingwood, closed for sewer separation and road rehabilitation work. For project details, you can visit Get Involved Kingston. Emily Street, King to End of Emily, closed October 3rd for 2 p.m. to 10 p.m. for Murdoch Mysteries filming. Hillcrest Avenue, King's Court to 7th, closed until October 31st for buried infrastructure replacement. The road will be open to local traffic. King Street, Earl to William, closed October 4th from 7 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. for Murdoch Mysteries filming. King's Court Avenue, Hillcrest to Kirkpatrick, closed until November 15th to accommodate a water main replacement. King Street, Gore to Lower Union, closed until October 4th from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. each day to repair a water service. Market Street, King to Ontario, closed October 1st at 8 a.m. to October 3rd at 8 p.m. for Murdoch Mysteries filming. Ontario Street, Brock to Clarence, closed October 1st at 8 a.m. to October 3rd at 8 p.m. for Murdoch Mysteries filming. Sydenham Street, Princess to Queen, closed until October 1st for downtown Kingston BIA activations. Sydenham Street, Earl to William, closed October 3rd from 10 p.m. to 6 p.m. for Murdoch Mysteries filming. Union Street, Willingdon to Albert, closed for sewer separation and road rehabilitation work. For project details, you can visit Get Involved Kingston. University Avenue, Union to Earl, closed for construction-related activity at the Queen's J-Duck Center. In parking disruptions, the Hanson Memorial Parking Restoration Project is still underway and is expected to conclude in late December 2024. 50% of the available 271 parking spaces will remain open. We also have a few additional parking disruptions this week, Ontario Brock Lot. We'll have a full closure in the morning of October 2nd. That will extend through into the evening of October 5th. Richardson South Beach Lot, full closure beginning September 30th, that will extend through to the evening of October 3rd. Richardson Beach North Lot, partial closure affecting access to Emily Street, as well as a portion of the lot that will be closed from September 30th through to the evening of October 4th. In addition to the lot closures, multiple on-street parking disruptions will occur through the downtown core as far as West Street beginning September 30th through October 4th. In other delays, Aberdeen Street, Johnson to Earl, expect delays and closures along Aberdeen Street for contractor to complete road and sewer reconstruction. For project details, you can visit Get Involved Kingston. Bay Ridge Drive, Princess to Taylor Kidd. Expect delays while a contractor completes phase two of the Bay Ridge Drive active transportation upgrades. Collins Bay Road. Prince Charles, Edwin to Princess. Expect delays while a contractor completes phase two of the Princess and Collins Bay active transportation improvements. Gardner's Road at Centennial and Creekford. Expect delays while a contractor completes intersection widening, traffic signal upgrades, and cycling and pedestrian improvements. Highway 2 Abbeydon to St. Lawrence. Expect delays to complete enhanced flood protection of Abbeydon Road, Highway 2, and St. Lawrence Avenue. For details on any of the projects just listed, you can visit Get Involved Kingston.
And now it's time for the CFRC Community Concerts and Events Calendar for September 30th to October 6th. Have an event you'd like covered on our website and news programming? Contact us via cfrc.ca today. Starting us off on Monday, September 30th, get ready for an unforgettable night of nonstop laughter as the current cast of the Emmy-nominated TV show Whose Line Is It Anyway? Takes the stage for their live improv tour, Whose Live Anyway? Join Ryan Stiles, Greg Proops, Jeff B. Davis, and Joel Murray for 90 minutes of hilarious, improvised comedy and song, all based on audience suggestions. Don't miss your chance to see these comedy legends live on stage in Kingston, Monday, September 30th at 8 p.m. Tickets are available on Ticketmaster.ca. Tuesday, October 1st, Terror Tuesday Movie Nights return, this week with Hereditary, the 2018 hit horror film. These screenings include scare actors who will wander around the grounds amplifying your spooky experience. Bring your own chair, blanket, or take a spot on our provided bleacher seating to immerse yourself in the eerie atmosphere of Fort Henry. Doors open at 7:15 p.m. and the movie begins at 8 p.m. Tickets are $15 plus HST, and popcorn, snacks, and beverages will be available for purchase. Get ready for a night of fright you won't soon forget. Please bear in mind that this film is rated as 18+. Wednesday, October 2nd, direct from the UK, following an incredible sellout tour, Walk Right Back returns to stages in 2024 by popular demand. This phenomenal production tells the story of the most successful musical duo of all time, the Everly Brothers. Featuring some of their best hits, this unique concert-based musical entwines the wonderful, sad, yet glorious story of the Everly Brothers. The show will take place at 7 p.m. October 2nd at the Kingston Grand Theater. Tickets are available on the theater's website. Thursday, October 3rd. And then there was House. Trinity's Night of EDM returns this Thursday night. Come enjoy the music, have a good time, and let loose on the dance floor. Tickets are available online at eventbrite.ca. Come join the fun on Thursday at 10 p.m. The pride of Lynn Lake, Manitoba, Tom Cochran makes a stop this Thursday at the Kingston Grand Theater to deliver a night of classic and unforgettable tunes. This Canadian Hall of Famer needs no introduction. Come see a living legend yourself as he performs some of his iconic hits this Thursday the 3rd at 7:30 p.m. and get swept away by the music. Tickets are available on the Kingston Grand Theater website. Friday, October 4th. This Friday, come experience a night of classic jazz with the Hot Sardines live at the Kingston Grand Theater. Fueled by the belief that classic jazz feeds the heart and soul, the Hot Sardines are on a mission to make old sounds new again and prove that joyful music can bring people together in a disconnected world. Come see the magic October 4th at 7:30 p.m. Tickets are available online on the Kingston Grand Theater website. Saturday, October 5th. This Saturday, get ready for a night of country melodies as Jordan Davis's Damn Good Time World Tour makes its stop in Kingston at the Slush Puppy Place this Saturday at 7 p.m. Enjoy some of this multi-platinum artist's greatest hits as he explores the evolution and progress in the country music industry and is sure to give Kingston an experience unlike any other. Tickets are available online at Ticketmaster.ca. Witches, warlocks, and sorcerers of all genders, come one, come all, for the annual Kingston Witches Walk. Don your most bewitching attire, and join fellow magic enthusiasts for an unforgettable night of spellbinding, family-friendly entertainment. This year, by participating, you'll be supporting the Elizabeth Fry Society Kingston, a local charity dedicated to empowering women through valuable resources and support. Be sure to RSVP on the official website, kingstonwitcheswalk.ca, for all the information you need. Welcome, ghastly beings and spectral souls, to the chilling depths of the second annual Bewitching Halloween Drag Show, also known as the Bewitching Halloween Ball, presented by the sinister alliance of Bewitched, Reel Out, and Kingston Writers Fest. This evening promises to ensnare your senses and raise haunting funds for Kingston Writers Fest and Reel Out. Doors open at 8 p.m. and tickets are available on eventbrite.ca. The Chalmers United Church is hosting a special reunion for the Chalmers Church Choir and their former director, David Cameron, on Saturday, October 5th, 2024. This event will feature a public performance at 3 p.m., showcasing works by various renowned composers. Come enjoy the music and see singers who have served under Cameron's direction across the decades at Chalmers United Church. Admission is free. Sunday, October 6th, Ray Bonneville is performing live this Sunday, October 6th at the Broom Factory. Come enjoy a night of introspective and thoughtful blues and folk music suitable for all ages. Doors open at 7 p.m. and tickets are available on ticketscene.ca.
Thank you for tuning in to CFRC's local news programming. To revisit episodes of Today in YGK and hear more from some of our guests, be sure to head to our podcast network at podcast.cfrc.ca. Today in YGK is brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, What'll I Wear, 732 Princess Street, and The Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. Be sure to stay tuned for more CFRC programming coming up next.
What'll I Wear offers the best in vintage, funky, one-of-a-kind treasures, clothing, accessories, and a fabulous selection of jewels, vintage and new. Find the cutest purse, the most dashing of hats and sunglasses, everything to complete your individual look. What'll I Wear has it all. They can dress you from top to bottom. Find your new fashion fave at What'll I Wear at 732 Princess Street in Kingston. Visit their new location and follow them on Facebook to keep up to date with what's in store at What'll I Wear.